Support for WPR comes from Tomorrow River Community Virtual School, delivering Waldorf-inspired live virtual lessons to grades 4K through 8th, open to all Wisconsin students. More is at trcvs.org.
Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
Dan Zanes isn't your typical kid's musician. In fact, he's more about pleasing the whole family. Zanes used to be a member of the rock band The Del Fuegos, but gave it up to make kids' music. His album, Catch That Train, won the Grammy in 2007 for Best Musical Album for Children. Zanes wants to teach kids and their families about music by proving that everyone can make music. He told Ann Strange Champs how he got started.
I was looking for a particular sound that I couldn't find. I had a sound in my head. It was essentially the updated version of the Folkways records that I grew up with. Pete Seeger, Lead Belly, Ella Jenkins, Woody Guthrie. For me, those were records. They had traditional songs. They had new songs that people wrote. It sounded like everybody was gathering together in a house somewhere. It really didn't sound like a recording studio in any way.
Everybody's talking about a day up at the lake. So let's get our bags and guitars and all the food that we can take. I'll meet you on the corner when the sun decides to break. So
catch the train.
Oh, come on out and catch it.
Catch the train.
There was a sense of fun and sort of a depth to the lyrics in those songs that I always liked. And I thought, well, that's the template right there. It's all made by hand. And that's really what I thought I would find on the shelves when I walked into Tower Records. And it seemed very, very corporate. And I couldn't find that handmade sound that I was after.
Oh, come on out and catch it.
Catch the train.
Was it also for you about giving kids a sound that was, I don't know, a little hipper, a little cooler? I mean, rather than that sort of more sentimentalized kids' music?
No. In my experience, as soon as I had a child, the idea of being hip and cool goes out the window. You know, the first time you change a diaper on a park bench, I think the idea of being cool, it evaporates right then and there. And I was relieved, too, because I spent so much of my life trying to be cool. Man, I was happy to let that one go. You know, what I wanted was just a shared experience. I wanted to make music, not for kids. I wanted to make music for families because I wanted music that I could connect with emotionally, that my daughter could also connect with. That's the key, I think, to what we do is the adults are just as important as the kids. We try not to leave anybody behind. In other words, we're not singing songs about learning to tie your shoes or put on trousers or eat with a fork, because that you would lose the grown-ups. But I'm also not singing songs about drinking and old girlfriends, because what three-year-old is going to relate to any of that?
I'm thinking a quintessential song that you just imagine parents and kids, whole families, right, kind of really dancing to is Let's Shake.
Oh.
Put your arms out to the side. Let's shake.
Trying to tap into what I felt like when I first started playing in a rock and roll band and just how primal it all was. Rock and roll, especially in a sort of a garage band format, rock and roll was really set me up well for family music, because there's always that spirit of we can do anything we want, we can sing anything we want, the sky's the limit. And that's really how I feel about doing this now. It's just every day is a new set of possibilities. But the difference now for me is that what I really believe we have to offer, and in addition to the sense that it's a shared musical experience, is also the feeling that you could do this too. This is something that anybody could do. You know, I hope you like the records, and I really hope they're a stepping stone for you to go and make your own music.
One of the things I really like is you kind of rescued songs that I haven't thought about for years. I mean, one of my favorites that you've done, for instance, is Loch Lomond. an old Scottish folk song. I mean, I probably learned it in, you know, third grade music class, and I haven't thought about it since then. But you do this version with Natalie Merchant that, I mean, it could be sung at a roots music festival the way you do it. And what did you do to make it sound that way?
Well, we ate lunch, and Natalie had baked some cookies, and we told some jokes and got to know each other, and then we hung around and played. I mean, that's really it. You know, I think you bring some food into it, and you get to know and appreciate the person that you're making music with, and the songs come alive. It's so mysterious and weird. I can't get over it, but that's the process, is you love the people that you're with, and you try and create the best time for everybody. And the music reflects that. I guess it's simple and easy, but it's also very mysterious. I think the world of Natalie, and to be able to do that song with her, there's so much emotion in that song. And when I hear her voice, it's, you know, I always get choked up.
Mind where we parted in young shady glen, on the steep, steep side of Ben Longman, where in deep purple hues the highland hills review, and the moon coming out.
Take the high road and I'll take the low road. I'll be in Scotland before you. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
You know, I was going to ask you earlier a question about kid music, which I think sort of traditionally has been kind of didactic. I mean, the songs that I remember growing up with, and I guess that I played for my kids probably when they were little, were a lot of like ABC songs or kind of Free to Be You and Me kind of things. You know, they really are didactic, intended to teach either the numbers or the alphabet or the golden rule. And I was wondering if your music does try to teach anything.
I've never considered myself an educator of any sort. I'm an entertainer. But I'm always trying to think, what are people going to get out of this? And I think for me, if people come to the shows or listen to the CDs, what I hope most is that people come out of it with a sense of life's possibilities that they might not have had before. They're either looking up at the stage and being able to identify with one of the people on the stage playing an instrument in some way. They're able to picture themselves up there doing the same thing. You know, I was kind of a lonely, scared kid up in New Hampshire, and I would listen to records, and it opened up these windows to the world. And it really helped me to try and figure out what was out there for me. And that's what we try and do, give people a sense of life's possibilities, a curiosity about each other, and a sense of open-heartedness towards each other. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but really, on the other hand, we're just hanging out with our friends, playing a bunch of tunes and eating lunch.
I was going to say, you've gotten some amazing musical talent to collaborate with you. I mean, people like the Kronos Quartet, Philip Glass, Lou Reed, Deborah Harry. I mean, these aren't the kind of people that you normally associate with, I don't know, kid culture or even family culture. I mean, how did you get them to collaborate, and what do they say about what the experience is like?
Sometimes I have to do a lot of begging, and then sometimes it just couldn't be easier. You know, someone like Roseanne Cash, I met her in the West Village here in New York, and she knew about what I was doing, and she knew of me, and she said, you know, if you ever want me to do anything, just let me know. I mean, and she's become such a good friend, and every situation is different, but it's always inspirational in one way or another. You know, say the Five Blind Boys come over to your house for lunch, and this is actually the way it worked with them, but they came over to my house for lunch, we rehearsed at the dining room table, and then we went in the living room and recorded a song.
Sit at the welcome
table. I'm gonna
sit at the welcome
table one of these days. Hallelujah. I'm gonna
sit at the welcome
table. Sit at the welcome table one of these days. One of these days.
I mean, we want it to be artful, but really to give that idea that, you know, this music, it lives in people's homes, it lives in the neighborhood, it lives in the community, and this is, you can do this too.
Hallelujah, I'm gonna feast on milk and honey. Feast on milk and honey. One of these days, one of these days.
Yes, gonna sit at the welcome table.
One of these days.
one of your songs, I confess it kind of makes me cry sometimes, is Moonlit Town that your daughter sings on with you. I think the reason that that song in particular makes me tear up is it conveys so much of what I feel about having kids and living in a close neighborhood. And it's something about ordinary life, which is both at the same time not special and just infinitely precious altogether.
Oh, boy, I agree with that. Our records are always a mix of the old and the new, mostly the old. But I do like to have a completed song. But I feel like everything I would ever need to write about is within 2 miles of my house. It's all right there. Everyday life is so filled with mystery and possibility. And just there's so many layers to it all. The little things can become so big. I didn't know that until I started doing this all-ages music. I was so locked into what I thought a rock and roll song had to be, but this has completely opened up songwriting for me.
The sun is gone now, stoves are on now, outside there's silver on the ground, in a moonlit town.
Dan Zanes won a Grammy in 2007 for his album Catch That Train. He's a former member of the rock band The Del Fuegos and a father. His latest album is called Nueva York. And by the way, if your child wants to learn an instrument, Zane says, go for a ukulele.